The reading this morning is first in Proverbs chapter 1, reading the first 8 verses, and then the memory passage, Proverbs 23, 17 and 18. So, first of all, Proverbs chapter 1, page 634 in the Church Bible. The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel. For attaining wisdom and discipline, for understanding words of insight, for acquiring a disciplined and prudent life, doing what is right and just and fair, for giving prudence to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the young, let the wise listen and add to their learning, and let the discerning get guidance for understanding proverbs and parables, the sayings and riddles of the wise. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and discipline. Chapter 23, verse 17, page 658. Do not let your heart envy sinners, but always be zealous for the fear of the Lord. For surely there is a future hope for you, and your hope will not be cut off. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you very much for that reading. As David's already said, my name is David as well. I'm just out of university, and I'm currently doing an apprenticeship at a church down in Southampton, where I was at university. I'm very glad that I can be here and be able to speak today. So let me pray before we come to hear from God's word. Father God, thank you that your word is living and true. Father, thank you that by it you show us wonderful truths about yourself. And as I speak today, Father, would you help us listen clearly, but please take away the things that are not from you. May you be speaking through the words I have. In Jesus' name, amen. I wonder when you have ever felt envious of another person. Maybe a person that had an amazing ability at sport, compared to your feeble 10 seconds without being able to, you know, run out of breath. Maybe a person with a Ferrari and large house compared to your Ford Escort and one-bedroom flat. Maybe the person married with a large family and even grandchildren now, compared to the singleness that you have had. Or maybe just someone that got that last custard cream rather than the rich tea biscuit you got stuck with. Maybe you envied a person you just thought was better than you. And this is the heart of envy. Envy is simply that feeling that someone does have it better than you. They are better than you. Their whole life is better. And this proverb starts by addressing this very thing. It addresses the problem of envy. Problem of envy. So envy has overtaken us all. In both the small ways, with the biscuit, and the big ways, with the whole life, the family, the success. Envy at some point has affected us all. But envy is ugly, isn't it? It really is. Envy is an ugly thing, and what's more, it is deeply, deeply selfish, and shows a distinct dissatisfaction with all that God has given us. A God that, in Ephesians 1, we are reminded, has given us every spiritual blessing in Christ. Every spiritual blessing in Christ. And this proverb addresses the envy of maybe a group that would be unexpected, the envy of sinners. It says, "Do not let your heart envy sinners." A sinner is someone that is still living in the natural human state of sin. They do not honor God as they should, but instead view themselves as God and reject the true and living God. And that's not to say that Christians are not sinners. Romans is very clear on this. Paul says in his letter to them that no one is righteous, not even one. But for a Christian, someone that believes in Jesus and repents of that sin, they have been forgiven, so no longer bear that punishment for sin. But for an unrepentant sinner, they are still under that punishment. So the question is, why would someone that believes in Jesus Christ crucified for the forgiveness of sins envy sinners? Why would those that have been adopted into God's family and freed from sin's slavery envy those that do not know him and remain in slavery to sin? Truly, to look at sinners with envy as a Christian sounds ridiculous. A sinner has not repented, they do not know God, and so are under God's righteous judgment. And yet, we have all done it in our lives. We have all in our hearts envied people that do not know Christ. We have all seen or heard of their success, their enjoyment of life, their apparent freedom to act in any way they wish, without any consequences. And just even for a second, we wish that was us. Do you envy sinners in your heart? Do you envy being in slavery to sin rather than knowing the true, living, and loving God? Well, this proverb has some wonderful truths to show us why that should not be the case, why we should not envy sinners. And it's a two-part solution. And the first part of that solution is the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord. Our proverb says, "Do not let your heart envy sinners, but always be zealous for the fear of the Lord." As we heard earlier from Proverbs 1, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, or wisdom, as it says in a similar verse in chapter 9. And so this fear of the Lord is what leads to wisdom. But what is this fear of the Lord? You could say that it is a fear, being scared, but that is not really enough of an understanding of how big and wide and how great this idea is. The fear of the Lord is believing God is truly who he says he is. Believing God is truly who he says he is. It's trusting that his very character is true. If someone has the fear of the Lord, if they believe that God is truly who he says he is, then it causes a response in their lives. In fact, it means that they see him for who he really is and realize that they are not the center of things, that we are not the center of things, but God is. He's the one that we should fear and worship and respect and be in awe of and pray to and love and have faith in. And no one else. There is surely only one way to live wisely, and it starts with knowing the fear of the Lord and trusting fully in his character. So why does the fear of the Lord help in dealing with envy? Well, envy doubts God's goodness. One that it rejects the idea that God is good to his people at all. You might think of people that are doing well in this world, people that are successful from doing wrong, and think, well, wouldn't it be fair to envy them? But actually, that is to deny that God has been good in all our lives, in every situation, that we need something better than God. We need better than him and his gifts. And for a Christian, it denies the great salvation in Christ and the goodness that is for sinners. We deny God's goodness and seek the fleeting pleasure of sin, but the fear of the Lord puts our priorities straight. It does not lead us to seek after possessions or better life circumstances, but it leads us to see his good character throughout history, to thankfulness for what we have, and a desire to use it for his glory. The fear of the Lord transforms our priorities, our thoughts, and our actions. It restores our wrong view of God. And this is why the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. As how can we rightly respond to God and make decisions wisely in how we live our lives unless we acknowledge that He is God, the all-powerful Creator of all, the just Judge and loving Saviour? But we are not just called to pursue the fear of the Lord, but we are also told to be zealous for the fear of the Lord. To be zealous means acting with energy and enthusiasm in the pursuit of a goal. And it is that single-mindedness, that devotion and enthusiasm that the writer is pointing us to in our pursuit of the fear of the Lord. Do not let your heart envy sinners, but always be zealous for the fear of the Lord. However, envy also denies God's faithfulness, that His promises for the future are not certain, and so we need security and assurance from things in the present. And this is where the second part of our solution is needed, and that is hope. The solution is hope. As our proverb today shows, it is a sure and certain hope for the future. The proverb says, "There is surely a future hope for you, and your hope will not be cut off." These are wonderful words that speak of that, a hope for the future. Don't know how much you think of the future. Do you think of it as a hope, something to be looking forward to? But it is particularly that it is a certain hope that will not be lost. It is not empty. It is a hope of eternal life with our Creator God. Spending eternity with God in the new creation. The book of Revelation, at the end of the Bible, describes it as a time when all pain and suffering has passed away. As a time in a shining city with God at the center, full of praise for everything that He has done. We also see the picture of a wedding feast, of celebration for the uniting of Christ and His bride, the church. Christians around the world, from all history, together with Christ, their Saviour. This hope is a wonderful hope and is better than all the things of this life. And better than this, it is a sure and certain hope for those that trust in Jesus. We have such assurance and security in Jesus for this future hope, as He has done it all for us. His sacrifice is what paid the price, and none of it by our work. And so because of Him, that hope is secure. It will not be taken away. Hope is a great fact of our assurance and should lead us to that great perseverance in our Christian life. As what a hope that is. What a wonderful hope. So how does this deal with envying sinners? Well, the fact is that sinners have no future. A sinner has no hope. Nothing to look forward to. And we read this in a proverb in chapter 24, 19 and 20. "Do not fret because of evildoers, or be envious of the wicked." Both other names for sinners in Proverbs. "For the evildoer has no future hope, and the lamp of the wicked will be snuffed out." Why envy someone that has no hope, but has only judgment waiting at the end of their life? Sinners are lost and hopeless. They are the ones without any hope for the future and should be pitied most of all, as they do not even realize the hopelessness of their situation. And it's for this reason that we must make such efforts to tell them this truth, the truth about Jesus, and show the hope that is found in Him. The judgment for sinners is very real, It is very real, and it is an eternal punishment to be cut off from God, the source of all light and life. So we must show them that hope that is found in Jesus, that is the best thing, but also that it is the only hope. But why envy one under such judgment when there is such hope in Jesus? But envying sinners is also like a child on the way to Disneyland with his parents. They're in quite a rush, as they thought check-in would only take 30 minutes. So they cannot stop for anything. And as they are driving to the airport, he sees an ice cream van and desperately wants an ice cream. So he asks and asks and asks and asks. But his parents, knowing what is better for him, instead tell him that if they go to get an ice cream, they will miss their flight, 30 minutes for check-in. And they'll miss going to Disneyland. Choosing an ice cream over Disneyland, well, why would you do that? It's something much better than Disneyland, though, that we have waiting for us. That great hope of being with God for eternity. So we must fix our eyes on that great hope that there is for those that trust in Jesus. And if you are not a believer here today, then please, I urge you, please repent of your sin and put your faith in Jesus, the one source of life and light and love and hope. But hear these words from Hebrews 11, verse 1. Now, faith is confidence in what we hope for, an assurance about what we do not see. For a believer, we can hear these words, and actually we can respond with faith. We can have confidence and hope for the future and not envy. And more than that, we can continue with these verses to remind ourselves and each other of that hope and that great truth. Do not let your heart envy sinners, but always be zealous for the fear of the Lord. There is surely a future hope for you, and your hope will not be cut off. I hope this proverb does remind you that there is a serious problem with envy, but it also shows us the great solution, the fear of the Lord, and that sure and certain hope for the future. It points us back to the great God, to see him as the center of our lives, after all he has done for us by Christ's death and resurrection, and points us forward to the sure and certain hope we have with God in the new creation. And so may we remember it together, and would we be led to live wisely now for God's glory as we wait for his return, that sure and certain hope. Let's pray together. Father God, your word is a light to our path. May it continue to guide our lives now. Father, may it feed us and grow us in godliness so that we may follow you wisely. Loving Heavenly Father, we are sorry that we do envy others, that we do envy sinners and reject your goodness, your faithfulness, your love and your good self. Even though you are the source of all these things, Father, forgive us and lead us to fear you rightly, so that we would honor you as we should in awe and wonder and worship. Help us remember all that you have done for us in Christ Jesus, who redeemed us by his blood, and help us to fix our eyes on the hope of eternity with you. May we look forward to that wonderful time and now live using your wisdom and for your glory. In the name of your precious Son.